The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ever bless and thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour, the light of the world, who has chased away from us once and for all of our fears, our doubts, all of the enemies of our souls. He has silenced the evil one and all of the accusations that spring up, even from our own consciences. We thank you, Father, for the forgiveness of sins, the communion of saints, the everlasting life from the dead that you have given to us in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that this morning would be marked by your characteristic love, your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace, that altogether we would see and cherish and love the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you turn with me then in your Bibles to our first reading, which is in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 42. We'll read the first 17 verses. As we go through this reading, notice how it is teaching us that the Father, God the Father, sends his Son into the world to be the light of the world. The Father sends the Son into the world as the light of the world. In verses 1 to 5 of chapter 42, the Father is speaking of his Son. Behold my servant whom I uphold, and so forth. And then from verses 6 to 9, he speaks to his Son. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. And then the prophet speaks to the world in verses 10 to 13. Sing to the Lord a new song. And then the Father speaks to us himself from verse 14. Okay? So Isaiah 42 from verse 1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will make the rivers coastlands. I will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed who trust in carved images, who say to the molded images, you are our gods. Amen. What a passage that is, isn't it? Where the Father promises to send his Son, the Lord Jesus, to be light even to the ends of the earth. Now, if you turn with me to John's Gospel for our second reading, and chapter 1, we'll just read the introduction there, the first 18 verses. And you'll notice from the Apostle John the same things. The Father, God the Father, sends his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to be light of the world. John identifies Christ as the light of the world from the very beginning, even in Genesis. And he says in these verses that whoever sees the Lord Jesus' light and walks in his light, they see God. They're reconciled with God. They're children of God. So here we have the Father again, sending the Son as the light of the world. John 1, and from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Amen. May God bless the reading of his precious words to us. If you turn with me then in your Bibles to John's Gospel, and chapter 8, we're carrying on our series here. We're focusing mainly on verse 12 this morning, but let me read to you from verse 12 to verse 30 of John chapter 8. This is at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, and Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, Will he kill himself? Because he says, Where I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, Who are you? And Jesus said to them, Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. So we're looking now this morning mainly at that those amazing words of Jesus in verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now that statement is absolutely mind-boggling in terms of how significant it is, how loaded it is. Jesus didn't just pull it out of thin air as something that neatly matched what he was on about. But it's something that is steeped all the way through the Old Testament scriptures. Thousands and thousands of years have led up to this sentence. When this man, Jesus Christ, said these words, they had been anticipated for a long time. The good news that Jesus is the light of the world, come into the world from the Father to save, it builds through almost every page of the Old Testament. How often can you think now in your Bible knowledge, how often can you think of times when shining light interrupts a scene so that God can save? Here are some highlights, okay? I'll try not to get carried away because there's so much, but here are some highlights. In the beginning, when God made everything, do you remember what the world was like first? In the opening verses of Genesis, what was it like at first? It was dark, wasn't it? Formless and void. And then the light of the world comes down into the world. Our Father speaks his word into the dark. And what does he say? Let there be light. He sends his Son into the light, into the dark, and then light and life explodes into the whole cosmos. We read John 1 a minute ago, didn't we? Where John says that that word was Jesus. The light of the world. From the Father into the world to give light. Later on, Abraham, our father in the faith, he was promised descendants that would be like the shining stars of heaven. And one of these stars would be Jesus. the supreme blessing and light of the world. A bit later, Abraham's descendants are trapped and enslaved and suffering in Egypt. The living God looks down and sees their dark suffering, and so he sends his son to light up their world. Can you think of times when the light shines in Exodus? The father sends his son as the burning bush in the wilderness, the light in the middle of the plague of darkness, the shining pillar of cloud and fire all the way through the night that would lead the church, the blaze on Sinai, the shining face of Moses, the golden lampstand. And so the church learned that if we want light in our world, we must look to the Lord for it. The Lord bless you, they said, and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And so all the way through the Old Testament, then, the prophets are looking for Christ. They're looking forward to his coming into the world to be the light of the world. We read, didn't we, a minute ago from Isaiah 42, which says, "Thus says the Lord who made the world, I, the Lord, have called you, my son Jesus, in righteousness. I will give you as a light to the Gentiles. To those who sit in darkness, I'll give you as light." A little bit later in Isaiah, the Lord Jesus speaks for himself in chapter 49. Listen to these words. "And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring back Jacob to him so that Israel is gathered to him. Indeed, he says," this is the Father now speaking to the Son, "it is too small a thing that you should be my servant just to raise up the Jews and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will give you, Jesus, as a light to the Gentiles, so that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth, the light of the world." So all these glimmers all the way through the Bible are saying the same thing. The Father sends his Son, Jesus, to light up dark people in dark situations, in a dark world. That sounds like someone we need, I think. If you know anything about the darkness that is in your own heart and life, the dark situations that you have to put up with, the dark world in which we live, you only have to put the news on for 10 seconds, and you see, we need God to send his light into our world, and that is Jesus Christ. Then the Lord took flesh. The light of the world took flesh. And when Jesus was born, there were new lights in the heavens. Do you remember that? Remember it every Christmas, don't we? All those, all the kids come out dressed as the wise men and things, following the new lights in the heavens. There was a gleaming choir of angels, and people sang new songs, songs about the light of the world. Here we have Zechariah's song in Luke 1, and in verse 79, he finishes his song with a great big crescendo. The Father has sent Jesus to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. A little bit later, when Jesus was just a little baby going into the temple, and he meets Simeon there, and Simeon sings of him, "This is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, the glory of the people of Israel." As Jesus grew up, he was proving himself to be the light of the world. And very early on in his ministry, he was displaying that, fulfilling these prophecies that he would be the light of the world. In Matthew's Gospel in chapter 4, it talks about Jesus beginning his ministry in Galilee, leaving Nazareth, it says. He dwelt in Capernaum, which is in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that it might be fulfilled, says Matthew, the prophecy that says, "The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles," that's in the whole world, "the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light." Those who sat in the region of shadow of death, light, the Lord Jesus Christ has dawned. So this light is getting brighter and brighter all the way through the Bible as Jesus Christ comes into the world and starts to shine and change things with his beautiful gospel. Then comes the Feast of Tabernacles in John chapter 8, where we are this morning. Do you know what the Jews used to do at the Feast of Tabernacles? I think we've mentioned it before, haven't we? They used to reenact the wilderness wanderings when they lived in the desert. They'd build tents in the temple, and they'd put up loads of massive candles. And there were so many, and they were so bright, that the historians used to say that even when it was nighttime, it was as if it was daytime in the temple, because it was so bright. I don't know if you watched the rugby yesterday. Spoiler, right? It was a really good outcome. But if you go and see the stadiums when the rugby's on, it doesn't matter if it's at night time in the winter matches or whatever, there's this big beam of light sticking out the top. It would have been like that, the temple just shining with this light. They were remembering when the Father sent the Son as a pillar of light to save them from Egypt. And it was on the last day of the feast that was all about light. There was so much light there. It was on that last day of the feast when they were remembering all of that, that they ceremoniously extinguished those candles in trusting that the Father would send the Son to them, that the Lord, the light of the world would one day appear. And with all of that anticipation, with the heightened sensitivity to all of these things, when everything was most on edge, when your senses were most tingling, waiting for the light of the world to come, that Jesus stands beside that smoking candle and says, "I am the light of the world. That was me. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Follow me," he says, "this way to life. I am the Son of the Father, come into the world to give light and life." Now, if you scan over the rest of John chapter 8, what else does Jesus say about light? Have a little look there. "I am the light of the world." And then, do you see anything else? I don't. It seems to have completely disappeared. All this anticipation, all of this fuss, all this built-up tension, and then this great big climax, "I am this light of the world," and then nothing. Why? He seems to just drop it like that. Even when he manages to provoke a reaction out of the people he's trying to speak with in verse 13, he just drops it. What does he talk about instead? He's talking to us about his Father. All the way through this section, he's talking to them about his Father. "I am the light of the world," he says, and he wants us to get the point that he is the Father's light of the world. He's identifying himself as the same person who the Father has always sent into the world to give light in the dark, hope to the hopeless. And now he has come in the flesh. It's as if he's saying, who do you think it was that lit up the world with life in the beginning? "I am the light of the world," he says. Who did the Father give to Abraham as his hope? Who did the Father send to lead Israel through the wilderness out of Egypt? Who did the Father give to people who were hopeless? Who did the Father send to Hagar and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and all the others? Who did the Father send? "I am the light of the world," he says. You know, without the Lord Jesus Christ, humans are dark-hearted people. It's hard truth, I know, but it's true. Humans are dark-hearted people. We live dark lives in a dark world. We are like these people who, in verse 19, have a look there, in verse 19, they don't know Jesus, they don't know the Father. They have no knowledge of God, without hope in the world. That's what we're like without Jesus Christ. But, thankfully, that is exactly why the Father has sent Jesus into the world. He has had pity on us, mercy on us, he's given us grace. And in the words of Paul, it says in 2 Corinthians 4, "It is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Do you hear that? We're completely hopeless and dark without him. But the Father has sent him as a gift. He's given Jesus to us that we might see him and know God in him. John is often concerned, isn't he, through his gospel, I think we've seen this, with identifying Jesus and pointing us to him. And here's one of these great highlights. He's pointing at Jesus Christ and he says, "This is the one by whom God lights up this world. This is the one. We must follow him." What difference would it make to Jesus' sentence if he said, "I am a light of the world"? I think you can understand that, can't you? He doesn't say, "I am a light," as if he's one of many and you can take your pick. He says, "I am the light. If there is any light in this world, it comes from him." Now, this light is jolly bright in 8:12, I think, isn't it? We're being pointed to Jesus. He is the light of the world. We believe in him. We know him. We know the Father. But it gets brighter, can you believe? And the dimmer switch is rising through the gospel, and it gets to its brightest right at the end. But the night is darkest just before the dawn. When Jesus was crucified, it went dark. Do you remember? The lights went out because the light of the world was snuffed out. Jesus Christ was plunged into the deepest darkness. In the beginning, the light went into the dark to light it up. In his incarnation, Jesus goes into the darkness of a sterile womb to light it up. He steps down into a dark world to light it up. All the way through the Old Testament, into dark people, dark situations to light it up. And on the cross, he fulfills all of this. He goes to the deepest darkness. The light of the world submerged himself in our darkness, our sin, our guilt. He took it all upon himself. He swam in the consequences of all of our wrongdoing, our guilt, our grief, our sorrow, our pain. He took it all to be his own. Our condemnation, our shame, all the mistakes we make, all the bitterness in our own heart, the instinctive anger that we feel, all the sins that we can think of, he took them all upon himself. The light of the world put his head under the wrath of the Father towards sin and sinners. All the punishment we've ever earned, he took it to himself. All that unspeakable God-forsakenness into which we throw ourselves, he took it to be his own. He was swallowed up by death. He came under the dominion of death. The light of the world even went into the grave. Is there anywhere darker than a grave? If you think about the most hopeless moments of life, isn't it when we stand at our loved ones' graves and see them go down into the hole? Hopeless, dark, that gap in the floor where all things go to be disintegrated, dissolved, and forgotten. Our God went there, the light of the world, into our grave. The light of the world could not have been in a darker place, but like we said, the night is darkest just before the dawn. John loves to play with these themes of light and dark and things like that. And so when we have John chapter 20, verse 1, Mary goes to the tomb of Jesus after he has died and been swallowed up in our darkness, after our sins killed him and put him in the ground. Mary goes to the tomb, and John says she got up early when it was still dark. And she goes to the tomb, and she sees the door has been left wide open because someone's walked out. The good news is that Jesus has blazed a trail for you and for me through the valley of the shadow of death and out the other side. Out of dark, hopeless night into light and life. Through death, the Lord Jesus has risen to give life again and light to the world. Do you see the consistency with which the living God has been acting all the way through history? The good news of the gospel assures us that the living God is able, willing, and eager to delve deep into dark places and light them up. And today, this very morning, the Lord Jesus is still shining over and in our dark world, plunging himself from heaven into dark hearts and dark lives to light them up with life and hope. Is that what you need? It's what I need. Do you believe that Jesus would do that for you? That the Son of God, the light of the world, would step into the darkness of your heart and your life to light it up? Do you believe he would do that for you? He is the light of the world. He would be the light of your world too. What a gospel, that God would light up our lives. Many of us in here, by the grace of God, already know what I'm talking about. That God has sent his Son into the darkness of our hearts, and he has saved us, lighting us up from the inside and turning our lives around. To such an extent that Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Our sins have been forgiven by him. We've been reconciled to God by him. He has given us the knowledge of God as our Father. He's cleaned up our lives. He's given us a life that is marked now by hope in the church, that no matter what happens in life, I belong here. I can be forgiven, restored, renewed, given new life here with Jesus and his people. Let me just reassure you about that, because the temptation for many to believe is that it's too good to be true. But let me just reassure you. God didn't need to create, but he did. Didn't have to step into the darkness to light it up, but he did. He went into the dark world to give life and light. He didn't have to step into Israel's history, but he did, to assure us that he will come for us, to light us up. When he went to the cross and the grave, it was for the purpose of sharing his victory with us who would otherwise be trapped in sin and darkness. What good reason do you have to doubt that he would do that for you? He has gone to amazing lengths to assure you that if you follow him, you will never walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. And so, in church, we regularly gather, we Christians, to hear about Jesus. We get to lift up our hearts to him who gave his heart to us. We get to look to him who lit up our hearts and our world, and he continually does so. We are so assured of his goodwill towards us, and he keeps on giving and lighting us up all the time. And that's the beauty of, I'm finishing with this, okay? That's the beauty of this amazing sentence that Jesus utters in John 8. That it is for all of us, regardless of our spiritual condition and regardless of our personal past. Whatever state we are in this morning, and whatever past we've had this week, this year, even our whole life, these words are for us. Maybe you're a Christian and you've been a Christian longer than I've been alive. Maybe you're not a Christian, you don't expect to ever become one. Maybe you're not sure if you're a Christian. Maybe you're not that fussed. Maybe you'd like to be a Christian. Whatever state we find ourselves in this morning, we have to know what we're going to do about the dark shadows in our life, our sin, our burdens, the things that are too heavy for us, the troubles which bother us and keep us up at night, our sins that would pull us down into the grave, the barriers to our faith. What do we do with them all? How do we face the hopelessness that can come with life, the loss that we can't avoid, especially death, which will rob us of everything that we can accrue here? Hear this. Arise, you sleeper, and Christ will give you light. God the Father has so loved us that he has sent us his Son as the light of the world. Whoever follows Jesus will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And as we fix our hope on him, as we trust in him, our life, no matter how dark it may get, will be characterized by his light. Amen. May God bless that to us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you and wish that we could thank you more for your amazing love and your mind-boggling patience towards us, that when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, when we were up to our necks in darkness, guilt, and sorrow, with screwed-up lives and a certain, uncertain future, you have sent Jesus Christ into the world to declare himself to be the light of the world. We thank you, Father, for your indiscriminate love and care towards us, that you have called all of us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you should grant us repentance from our sins and faith in him, that we might have eternal life in his name and a life here characterized by light and joy in the church. Amen.